B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
You know, like I said earlier, you lost two-thirds of your... You lost the two... Your left fielder and center fielder, the guy that you had... The guys that you had believed were going to play 150 games for you. You lost both of them. And you did nothing. You did nothing. Jay Bruce wasn't gotten after Andrew McCutchen. He was gotten before. So he was brought here to be a bat off the bench. Remember when they got him? That's what everybody said. Nice, heavy-hitting bat off the bench. And then you had to plug him into the starting line. You did nothing to get better at the number one spot. And Kingery's slumping now, so he's not a very good number one hitter. And you did nothing to secure a good fielding center fielder. Because, you know, God bless Kingery. He goes all over the place, but he can't play center. Jay Bruce isn't an everyday left fielder. He can't play left field all that well. Mark, you hit on it. How slow he is.
Kingery played. He made an awesome play at second the other day. And I went, what are we doing here? Just get the guy at his natural position, please.
Well, that's what I have to think. If I'm making a trade, if I'm the front office, right, and you want to get someone who you could plug
Cesar's
in your starting left.
That's the guy I dangled.
That's the one. That's the guy that you can look at.
Look, he's leading our team with hits. Exactly. He could be yours.
He was actually arguably the most qualified to be an all-star at his position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I mean, batting average-wise, I think he was hitting second in the National League at the time. Like, you could actually make an argument that he'd be your biggest trade piece right now.
Yikes.
Because that would also open up a spot for Scott Kingery to play every day.
Yeah.
And I think he could also get you a halfway decent pitcher. Like, I think he would be involved in a Marcus Stroman deal.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's not, again, it's not an earth-shattering type of move, but he's at least a decent starting pitcher for you. Like, this year in the American League...
Stroman's good this year.
Pitching in the AL East, by the way. A lot of those games in the AL East. He's got a sub-4 ERA. It's 3.25.
Okay, yeah.
3.25 is ERA right now in 19 starts. Yeah,
he's immediately our second best pitcher. So you make the move.
It's insane.
By the way, Logan Morrison's going to fit in great here. He's a career 240 hitter.
Oh, there you go.
So,
but what's his on base percentage?
Career?
Yeah.
325.
Oh, dude. No, he's out. they don't like those guys.
Last year, he hit the 38 home runs 2 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, last year he hit 186.
There you go.
So get excited.
There we go.
Can he be a backup catcher?
He can't hurt.
Okay.
At least we don't have to see Knapp as much.
I almost feel bad for Andrew Knapp.
I don't.
It's like, guys, they just put me in. Like, what do you want me to do?
I'm just collecting paychecks. I don't belong up here.
You know, we're going to talk to Corbin Burnson, right? Lean into one Dorn,
yeah.
That type of thing, right? Do you remember when he takes the bat in Major League?
Might be the
League
most
two?
Underrated sports movie out there.
Which one?
Major League.
Major League 1 or 2?
Yeah, 1.
1? Okay. All right, yeah, okay.
It's never discussed as like one of the greats, and I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
30 years ago this year it came out.
Crazy. Uh-huh.
So Corbin Burnson, remember when he... Do you remember the scene, Trey? Have you seen this movie? Major League 2. Corbin Burnson is like the GM, but he also wants to play, so he like signs himself.
Oh, okay.
And the only time he gets to bat is when his manager says, hey, go lean into one. Basically, I need a runner, go step into a pitch and get hit.
Uh-huh.
So the way he steps into the batter's box is kind of what is what Andrew Knapp kind of reminds me of. He just kind of like puts the bat up and just like, guys, please don't boo me too much. Like, they told me to go in. I can't refuse. Ah! And then he like flies out the left. Like, that's basically, I feel bad for Andrew Knapp because it's not him. It's where I think when Andrew Knapp gets booed, it's booing the front office.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like you have to feel bad for Gabe Kapler, too.
In a way.
Yeah, I mean, he's only putting out there what you give him.
Sure.
Hey, this is like, this is what I have. What do you want me to do?
I mean, your second pitcher can only go about 5 or 6 innings, it looks like, so you're going to have to tax your bullpen then. Mm-hmm. And then you have the likes of Nick Pivetta and Vinny Velasquez filling out, so you're going to have to tax your bullpen on those days mm-hmm. also. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have 7 relievers on the injured list, too, so... it's not easy for him.
But I'm not saying it is easy for him.
No, I know.
But it is funny, the more he's had to meddle with the lineup, the worse the team has been.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Kingery took him a while to figure out him as your leadoff hitter. It took him a while to figure that Michael Franco was your best option at left field. Or excuse me, on third base.
Yeah.
Nick Pivetta, I understand that the rotation was healthy at the time, but Nick Pivetta starting the second game of the season. Aaron Nola not starting the first game after the All-Star break.
Yeah, his plan might have actually worked out had Neris not blown it on Saturday. Like, I think his thinking was, well, Strasburg's 11-2 lifetime versus the Phillies, so I don't want to waste Nola on that night.
Chalk it up as the loss
already?
Yeah,
kind of. You throw Nola Saturday night, and then you're fighting for the series on Sunday, and it almost worked.
Mm.
Almost.
Almost worked.
Almost.
610-632-0975. Do have to tell you, listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Coming up, Trey, I want to get into this with you.
Yes.
I mentioned running backs at the start of the show for the Eagles. Now, training camp is less than 2 weeks away. Things getting underway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into that running back conversation a little bit. But this was, I believe, the breaking news from the weekend. And this was actually a feel-good story.
Not Area 51?
Not
because that's still gaining.
What the hell was that about?
Yeah, Area 51 is gaining momentum.
My goodness.
Every meme on the internet right now is Area 51 memes.
What did I miss? What happened here?
Oh, you didn't see this?
What happened?
Like, it's up to over 500,000 people that petitioned to storm the gates.
Yeah, they're going to storm the gates, man. September
1st. They want
the
answers.
Date?
That like wasn't 24th
or
something.
Is there
like
a date, September 24th?
Yeah, they
something
gave a
like
date.
That.
Yeah.
I just thought it was some movie people were talking about.
No, over 500,000 people have
they're
signed it.
They're going to storm the gates.
Yeah,
that's what they said. 51.
Yeah, they want to go see them aliens.
Why, mm-hmm. why would you do that?
Curiosity.
They want to see the aliens.
Curiosity. You know what they say about curiosity?
They killed the cat.
They killed the cat. Like, that's, you know, I'm not storming the gates against the government. That's not happening.
No.
I don't want to do that.
Well, they can't shoot 500,000 people.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I don't want to be. They have some rounds. Like, that's not
they
like
have some, yeah.
It's not like they have one bullet. Like, they're doing okay. They're the government.
Some people
I like
got
their chances. I want to see the report.
All right, well, okay.
So there was a good meme I saw. It was Tupac and Biggie, like, having dinner and, like, drinking a glass of wine. It was like, damn, they finally found us.
Hanging out at Area 51.
That's awesome concerts going on there. You might even say it's lit. But if you go there, that's a bad idea. I'm just going to make that announcement right now.
It's not going to end well.
Go ahead. Let them have at it.
It was one of those things.
I mean, I'm curious. I'd like them to figure out what's going on and report back.
Sure. Let us know.
Yeah.
I support that. Go ahead. Have at it.
You know, send a tweet. I'll read your tweet of
Periscope
someone who wasn't shot.
Yes. Go Facebook Live. Twitch it.
All the problems we have worldwide. And it's like, no, we're going to storm the gates. For what? Aliens?
We need answers.
All right.
Yeah, we want to go see them aliens.
We'll all be better people afterwards. I mean, didn't they say the movie is in the movie Independence Day?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We all figured out what happened. The doctor got killed and they talked through his voice. What do you want? But
I think Randy Quaid actually went crazy from filming that movie.
Who?
Randy Quaid, the guy that flies into the alien ship.
He saved our lives.
He's literally a lunatic.
Literally crazy. Yeah. He's up in Canada now, right?
I don't know.
I had way too much stuff to catch up on over the weekend. Area 51 took a back burner. All right. I had the wedding this weekend. And
I did a little Stranger Things binge.
Oh, I finished that.
There you go.
I didn't finish yet, so no spoilers.
Okay. Everybody does. No. Anyway, it was great. I really enjoyed the season of Stranger Things, but I digress. So, of all the stories to come out, no, it wasn't Area 51 that was the feel-good story. It was the newly minted Sixers insider, Tobias Harris. All right, now people always tell us, like, if we say anything positive about the Sixers, because the Sixers are on our station, that we work for the team.
I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, I'm a fanboy.
Because I don't think Brett Brown should be fired.
Yeah, you work for the team then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So why can't Tobias Harris work for the radio station?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's now our Sixers insider.
I wish they would cut their checks a little bigger towards me.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll talk about that at negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, cut that at all. So then Tobias Harris then works for us if we're the flagship. And
absolutely.
Tobias Harris, he had a little report on Ben Simmons. The Instagram post came out. Ben Simmons working out with Tobias Harris. So they asked Toby about Ben Simmons working on his game, and here's what Toby said.
He's made big improvements on his game. His jump shot looking really good. He has the confidence to shoot it. And I just kept telling him there, like, you know, even in these workouts where you're playing, have the confidence to shoot them and don't get discouraged if you miss. This is where you build that type of confidence.
That's where you do it, in the practice. Play a little one-on-one.
Yep. That's right.
Feeling good, gentlemen?
For you to stop right there, I was good. All right.
Unfortunately, he didn't stop right
there. Yeah, I know.
He went on as he had to egg on Ben a little bit for that three-point jump shot. Here it is.
But he's in the gym religiously every day, grinding and getting better. He's in great shape. Everybody was trying to figure out why I was guarding him at the three-point line. But it was really because he hit two of them. When I dared him to shoot two of them, he hit two in a row. So that's why I was there.
Dared him.
Yeah,
We have no report on whether or not it was a double dog dare or a triple dog dare.
Did he call him a chicken?
I believe he might have.
Well, see, now the scouting report's out. Like, you can't stand back and say, I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you to shoot that because he'll bust. I could see Kyrie Irving just standing there. I dare you, Ben. I dare you to shoot it.
Well, did they do that a couple of times last year?
Pretty much.
Without saying the words, yeah.
And when I actually say a couple of times, I mean twice. that he actually tried that to shoot the three, and they were staring at him like, "Yeah, you go ahead, bro. You can take a shot.
Have at it.
Well, yellow how about that? Belly chicken. You gonna shoot it?
Nobody calls me chicken. You go out there and you shoot your shot." And he was shooting a shot against Tobias Harris. Now, Toby is coming back, and I think he's going over. He's not just saying, yeah, Ben's working on his game. He's working really hard. He's going out there. He's giving you specific examples of Ben jacking that three.
That's a Mike Scott quote. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right. Mike Scott and Wayne Gretzky's dad, I think, said that. Mm-hmm. And Markel Fultz said that once as well. So there's three people.
Oh, Markel. Do you see Caron Butler?
Caron Butler.
Yeah, came out and was hyping up the Fultz train.
Oh, God.
Thank God this isn't part of our lives anymore.
Oh, well, it'll never really leave us.
Caron Butler said he's going to be the starting point guard for the Magic with the way he looks.
Now, look.
They also share an agent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So all I'll say is this, all right? I am of the school, and I was even before this, that Ben Simmons is going to come back next year with a jump shot. I was about 70% sure that he was going to come back comfortable with that jump shot. Because you know, I've seen him put the work in already. We've talked about examples of guys coming back in the third year and really starting to hit that jumper.
It's a big jump. It's a big step year for people.
Huge step year for people,
I think,
right?
Giannis made his big step in going into year three. A lot of people. Jason Kidd started shooting in year three. And then year five is when you take it to MVP level.
All right, so the Sixers right now are also banking on Ben Simmons developing that part of his game, are they not?
Yes,
$170 million guaranteed soon to be.
I'd like that to be signed soon.
I would like to get that done. Right?
Yeah, I just think I've been a lot of people have asked me that on Twitter. It's just a
later
case
this
of everybody
week.
Getting to, yeah getting together.
I'd like
the
some
right
news later this
time,
week
yeah.
on that. Yeah, because if it goes too much longer, I'm going. Excuse me. Okay. Pen to paper?
All right, give it a shot.
You want to do that?
That's all I'm saying. Just they have faith in Ben Simmons. He's going to come back with that mid-range game.
And I think the Jimmy Butler decision probably had a lot to do with how much faith they have in Ben Simmons.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I'm in agreement.
You're in agreement. Okay. So we all think, and I think that Ben Simmons is going to come back stronger.
I think
he's going to
so
come
too.
Back as a better basketball player.
I think he's going
to
be
Tobias
ready.
Harris went a little above and beyond what a normal teammate would have to talk about how much Ben Simmons has improved. That just gives me more confidence. And that's why I'm now at about 80% that Ben Simmons will come back with that mid-range game as part of his arsenal, as they say.
I'm at 100% there.
I think he's
going to come back ready, man. I think he's going to come back. He's going to fire him up. I think he's going to be a lot more confident with it. You know what? If you're keeping him out of I wanted to see him play for the Boomers.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're keeping him out of it just because he wants to focus on the form, make sure that the form is cemented, and then so that he can be ready to take on the season, then I'm all right with that, too. But, you know, he's got to put in the work. I just feel like, man, you know, everything doesn't have to be talked about. You know, I get like everybody likes, hey, let's pull the curtain back and show everybody what's going on.
Sure.
You know, if you say, okay, hey, man, he's out there putting the work in. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Good job. All right. There you go. Leave it at that. But then when you say, oh, I had to dare him to shoot the two threes. Now you're making everybody like, oh, man.
All right.
Here we go again. You know, what's going on? You have to dare him to shoot the three. What's the whole point of being out there if you're not willing to take the three while you're working out a one-on-one against Tobias?
But he hit him. But he hit the threes. And they need to D him up on those threes.
But you have to be dared to shoot a three when you're going one-on-one with one of your teammates?
Yeah, that's weak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you just driving to the hole every shot? Like, what is this?
How is it that you're more confident than me that Ben will come back with it and now you're...
I'm always believing in the athlete, though. I always believe in the athlete. But I just feel like, you know, if you would have just kept it at, hey, man, he's in great shape. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and then we'll be good.
Right.
Leave it at that. No, you got to go a little further. No, everybody want to see how I was guarding him at the three-point. I had to dare him. I stepped back, and I dared him to shoot the three.
I called him a coward.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not going to let it rain on my parade. I still feel like Ben Simmons is going to come back with that jumper. I feel like he's going to come back comfortable enough to use that during his game.
If he doesn't, his honeymoon with the fan base is over.
Oh, yeah.
How quickly? It's over. I give him a month into the season.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it this way. Remember at the start of last year, the first game of the season, Markel Fultz got the ball at the three-point line?
Mm-hmm.
And we were all cheering.
Yeah,
shoot
for
it.
An attempt.
And he I don't think he made it. He missed
no,
it.
No, I think he missed it. Yeah.
And we all cheered him.
Yeah.
Right?
It's almost Bronx cheerish, but you know.
If Ben is at, let's just say the top of the key, and he's wide open, and they're giving him like 10 feet.
He better.
And he doesn't shoot. He ain't getting that cheer.
No.
If he, even if he drives to the lane.
I think there will be mild booing beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even if he drives to the lane with a 360 tomahawk.
Oh, then they're cheering.
Well, then we jump out of the ceiling.
Yeah. Then we go nuts. We lose our minds.
But if he does that hesitation where he's got the wide open jumper and doesn't pull it.
If it's the same exact situation as Markelle Fultz last year.
Exactly.
We're not cheering.
Look at you. Look at you. Now you're
look what you've done to me, Trey. Look what you've done to me. Now I'm making comparisons.
I'm trying to tell you.
All right. I hope that would make people feel better.
And then if the slight booing does happen, I'm worried how he handles it.
Right. Yes.
Well, here's if that didn't make you feel better, what Tobias Harris said, because it made me feel better. Let's point and laugh at an organization that we love pointing and laughing at. No, it's not the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Washington Redskins. Now, I teased this before the break. The Washington Redskins had two things that you could point and laugh at them for. One was a little bit more serious than the other. Did you see this story that close to 40 members of like their executive office quit?
Yeah, just got up and left.
They just, like, this offseason, I believe this is the time frame. This offseason, have just been like, I'm out, deuces, and quit. And just, they just quit. Huh. Because they said it's not a healthy working environment, I believe was the quote.
Huh.
Wow.
So they had a group like Facebook, like kind of like the people that's going to do the aliens.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they're on their way to, what is it, New Mexico?
Maybe
they're on their way there to go storm the gates.
Probably going to start training. Because, I mean, when you're running, I mean, when you got to storm the gates, you know, you got
40, planning. Almost 40 people. Imagine if that's a story in Philadelphia with 40 people saying, I can't work for Jeffrey Lurie or whoever. Now, apparently they left it up to the front office executive there, that they're just like, yeah, we can't really take him seriously anymore. So it's a hostile working environment and we want to basically leave.
Wow.
And they all did this on the same day?
No. It's been over the course of, it wasn't a mass walkout by any
but
means.
But like 4 months.
Yeah, over the last.
So they're averaging probably like 10 a month.
Yeah, due to a, quote, terrible culture. It's a report coming out of 106.7 The Fan in Washington. They're putting out this report that multiple people have told them that there's been a mass exodus of employees since January, citing a working environment that has a, quote, terrible culture. And apparently most of this is over team president Bruce Allen. Not so much Dan Snyder, but it's over Bruce Allen having that terrible culture.
Yeah, because Snyder's such a good leader.
Yeah, who hired Bruce Allen?
Yeah, I wonder.
That's a curious thing right there.
Yeah.
So we can point and laugh at the Washington Redskins over that. And then did you see what Josh Norman did?
Yeah.
He jumped over a bull in Pamplona, Spain during the running of the Bulls.
Which was quite athletic.
Apparently, he made the run and then went to the stadium where they funnel all the bulls into, and he jumped over a bull.
Oh, yeah. He jumped right over him. It was a hell of an
extremely
leap.
Extremely athletic move, though.
Yeah. Then he got to the sidelines and hightailed it out of there.
Well, that was after his second bull that he jumped
over. Yeah, that's right.
Let's all just point and laugh for a second at the Washington Redskins. Justin in Drexel Hill, what's on your mind, brother?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, man.
How you doing? I just want to get pumped up for the season, man. I'm so excited for the Eagles. I don't know. What do you guys thinking we're going to do now?
I'm thinking that they're going to be a juggernaut this year. I'm not even messing with you.
Like, is there any shot for us to lose the division?
I mean, Dallas is solid, but they should win the division.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are going to win 12 games this year.
Dude, I'm pumped up, man.
You should be.
E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles.
Yo. There you go, Justin. Thanks for the call, brother.
Yo, man.
Yo.
Yo, you think I can get some tickets this year? Never been.
To FanFest?
Yes, sir.
Mark.
Come on.
I'm thinking, Mark. Justin, but it's up to Mark.
No, it's up to me. Nothing. I'm outvoted
anyway.
Come on,
Mark. Come on, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
Give the man some tickets, Mark.
Let me just ask this question. Why the hell would I say no? Why would I say to this man?
That's the spirit.
No. Justin, of course. There you go.
I've heard a lot of, I haven't heard the tweeters, but I've seen a lot of the tweets, and I've heard some people, just what he's saying. Like, baseball season sucks. Is it football time yet?
I didn't think we'd get to this point.
Well, that should tell you everything you need to know about the Philly season.
I thought, and I've made this point so many times, and I'm waiting for it to not be relevant, but the offseason of the Phillies has been 10 times more exciting than the season of the Phillies.
That first 2 weeks was pretty fun.
All right. I got more out of 118 days in anticipation of Bryce Harper than I have in the 14 days that the Phillies were a juggernaut.
Correct.
What the hell?
I went through all that anticipation, thinking that the regular season was going to be better than the off season. And right now, the off season is kicking the ass of the regular season.
It's not a good thing.
They say the waiting is the hardest part, right? Tom Petty told us that.
Yeah.
The waiting has been the best part. That's really what this season has been. The fact that your off season, if you're a Phillies fan, has been better than the regular season is awful. It's actually quite atrocious. Let's get to David in Baltimore. He's got something on that NFL schedule. What's up, David?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, buddy.
I do want to talk about the NFL schedule, but just real quick, I mean, how crazy was that Wimbledon final yesterday? I don't know if anybody caught it, but that was probably some of the best drama I've seen in a long, long, long time.
I didn't catch much of Wimbledon, to be honest with you, David.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yesterday's match was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Ridiculous ending I've ever seen.
I respect it. I just didn't get a chance to catch it.
But did you see how Djokovic? I don't want to mess up his name.
No, you're right.
Djokovic.
How
he ate some grass.
Yeah, celebrate. Yeah, yeah. And then he pounded on his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's how you celebrate. Yeah. Eat some grass.
That's what you do. It. Eat some grass. But maybe not that type of grass. There's other grass to celebrate. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. That too.
All right, to this NFL schedule thing and the DH thing. All right, so first let's go to the DH thing with the MLB baseball. I'm not one for change. Like, I like sports to stay the same. I don't like this progressive movement of changing sports. But the DH thing, first of all, is something I'll never understand. It's literally like having the NBA would decide that the Eastern Conference is having a three-point line, but the Western Conference does not have a three-point line. That's how ridiculous it is. And it's amazing how they've been able to get away with it for so long. And then you realize, well, this is the same league that thought that having six teams in one division and four teams in another division made sense as well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really trust anything baseball does anymore. They're just the most, they can't get out of their own way. They make decisions that make no sense. Now, to the football thing. I only like the 18-game schedule if you just actually play 18 games. It's the idea of the starters, you know, 16 and, you know, the bench players, not. I don't like that. But I will say I'm not necessarily opposed to the four preseason games because I think, and I don't know, Trey, maybe you can speak to this a little bit more. Doesn't the four preseason games give guys an opportunity to make the team? Like, if you only have two, that means, you know, maybe your starters are only going to play, like, one game, and then you're only giving guys a real shot to make the team with one other game. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but one of the things they were saying about this is that they would have more of the during training camp where the teams would practice against each other. So that would kind of, you know, substitute having some of those preseason games. Now, your starters are always going to have to play at least go through where your first game they might play a quarter or two, and then that second game they'll play the halftime and then get out of there just so they can get their wind and their legs underneath them to get ready for the season. But, you know, I think that using those practicing against other teams will help the coaches evaluate some of the younger guys.
But would they have to start training camp a little earlier then to accommodate the play against other teams? Because I'm assuming it takes, like, time to get up to speed with your own team before you practice against other teams.
Well, not really. I mean, you already have that going right now with the four preseason games. Okay. Yeah, so you already have teams that practice against each other, so I don't think they would have to start. The players aren't going to sign anything that's going to say, hey, we need more training camp.
All right, cool. Well, you know what? Again, I don't necessarily, you know, against the change. I just remember when the NFL was trying to figure out how to do, like, the thing, you know, to make the extra point more exciting. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it brings more revenue to the league and it gives me more football. So, what's to be mad about? Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate it, man. 610-632-0975. As we talked about earlier and David just alluded to, the National League's going to get the DH sooner or later. The NFL, I do believe, is going to go to an 18-game schedule. It's just a matter of how they get there. There's a lot of ways to slice that pie, I guess.
Yeah.
They're going to figure out a way. If it means more money, which obviously it would, they're going to find a way to slice that up. 610-632.
Had to add the date to my calendar.
What's that?
They're storming Area 51 September 20th. So I had to just make sure to put that in my calendar.
You know, are we off that day?
No, it's a Friday.
We're doing a remote.
It's a what is it?
September 20th is a Friday.
Oh.
We're going to do a remote from New Mexico.
Yeah,
that's where it is, right? Area 51's in New Mexico?
Isn't it Roswell? Isn't that
Roswell, New Mexico? Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. You remember the old arcade game, Area 51?
Of course I do.
It was awesome.
Yeah, the shooter game?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
it had the
game.
Shotguns in it?
Tell me you didn't wish, like, every year for your birthday you'd get that game.
Oh, yeah,
that would be amazing. We got that. Let's see. We'll also break down a little bit more of the NFL schedule. And something happened during yesterday's victory that was a new way to celebrate. I never saw it. I haven't seen this done yet, and I haven't seen the Phillies do that yet this year, but yet they did this, and it was rather odd. Getting at in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Michael is 0 for 2. In the air to left center field. Going back on it is Soto. It is gone! Walk-off home run, Michael Franco!
Awesome moment for the Phillies yesterday. Yes, a win is a win. That's fine. Overall, it's still very disappointing. Start to the second half of the season. But did you see what Gene Segura did during this celebration? I haven't seen this.
No.
Is this when he was coming around the bases or after all was settled?
When he rounded third and was just about to step on home plate.
Didn't stick out to you?
No.
With the what?
It looked like a squirt bottle, but it wasn't. Didn't contain water?
Gene Segura didn't have a squirt bottle.
Did he have a ketchup container?
I thought for a second that's what it was.
So did I. I thought it like mustard might come out or something.
No. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any bottle in his hand.
Oh.
Gene Segura, like I see Michael Franco. The original shot that I saw was Gene Segura as Michael Franco was rounding third. He looked like he had something in his hand. And he like had his hands together. And I'm like, did he cup water and put it in his hands and he's going to splash it on him? Like, that's stupid. And then it looked like he threw something at Franco as he approached the plate, and then they started to beat down on him. And I'm like, what the heck was that? And it wasn't until, I think, the roll out from game coverage on NBC Sports Philadelphia that they showed what Segura was doing. And he bent over. Did you see this, Jamie?
No, I didn't, actually.
He bent over at home plate, Gene Segura, and pushed dirt together like a kid playing in the dirt.
Uh-huh.
And picked up two handfuls of it and, like, cupped it in his hands. And as Michael Franco was just about to score, he threw it in his face.
It's kind of messed up.
I was like, that's not... like, water, ha, ha, ha. You know?
Dirt gets in your eye, potentially.
Like, guys spit all the time in baseball, so he might be actually...
Oh, right!
Picking up some, you know, discarded seeds.
Yeah. Huh. And, like, he just threw it in the guy's face.
Is Gene Segura a bad teammate? 6-1-0, 6-3-2.
And I'm like, that's the worst way to possibly celebrate. Like, it was all fun and games, ha ha ha, right? Everyone was laughing. But, like, I hadn't seen that before. Is that something that Gene Segura has been doing throughout the season?
I don't know.
Trey, have you seen it? Are you watching it now?
No.
It's the weirdest thing. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, they used to, like, beat guys up. They used to, like, punch them in the stomach.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was, like, funny, right? And dumping the water on them, that's funny. The ice bucket on them after they get done, you know, after when they're doing the interview with Murph, that's always funny. Murph got it bad yesterday, by the way, when
Michael
Franco.
And they threw that from the dugout.
That was actually pretty impressive that they got that far. It was actually almost as impressive as Bryce Harper's throw on Saturday. But it missed him completely and it hit Greg Murphy. It was wild. I just hadn't seen. If you're doing that trade, when you're crossing the home plate to win a game for the team, I'm sure like, whatever, ha-ha, but... Like, you don't want dirt in your face.
No, you definitely don't want dirt in your face.
I thought that was a little odd.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I wanted to get this in for the people that need that football itch scratched more so than the schedule.
Uh-huh.
Running back-wise, Trey, for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard comes in. Miles Sanders gets drafted. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Jay Ajayi's on the outs. Mm-hmm. He's gone. You have, obviously, let's see, Miles Sanders, I mentioned. You have Corey Clement and Josh Adams. And then Wendell Smallwood still running around.
Yeah. And then you got Pumphrey.
Donnell Pumphrey's still around. He was gone for a split second. Now he's back.
Boston Scott.
Boston Scott, who could be a return man here. How do you think they allocate touches here? What's the game plan with those guys? How do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, already it's going to be a running back by committee anyway. So this is going to be a situation where depending on the package, even depending on what the defense is giving you, you know, they're going to say, all right, you know what? Maybe this might not be a game that we got to go heavy with Howard. This might be a more of a Miles Sanders or whatever, a more of a scat back type situation. I think they're going to try to find out what each back does well. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, where you knew that Sproles was your better back out of the backfield for when you're throwing screens or whatever. So they're going to try to figure out which combinations they can work all of these different backs into to try to keep the defense off balance. I don't think this is going to be all those years of seeing one running back just really dominate a game.
Right.
I think those days are over now. It's going to be a running back by committee, just keep spreading the load around, and you just find out which backs does what well, and then you just, because now you can kind of customize your offense based off of what your running backs can give you.
Yeah, I think Corey Clement's actually going to have a really good year for this team.
Uh-huh.
And I know that sounds like it could be far-fetched because of Jordan Howard being here, but I think as a very versatile back, I think he is going to have a big influence on this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's that versatile. I think he's that good. And I think Miles Sanders is going to have a good year. Like, I think this team is going to surprise people on the ground. Like, it's a passing game. I'm not saying it's not. That's the way it is now. But I think they're going to be very versatile in how they can attack on the ground.
I think their pass is going to set up that ground game a lot, don't you, Trey?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, everybody, you're going to see DeSean Jackson. Because having DeSean Jackson out there is going to take the safety out of the box.
Yeah.
So that's already working in your favor there. And then, you know, this offensive line, one of the things that Coach Stout does really well is focuses on run block. He understands run block, and he teaches it. They work a lot of run block in practice. I mean, a lot of run block, where you're working on all the different combinations, working up to the linebackers, and yada, 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 yada. It goes into run blocking. But, you know, I think that it's just going to be based off of which what running backs can do what. And also, too, you're going to look at, all right, which one of y'all can protect? You know, which one of you guys can handle if we have a five-man front? You know, who's going to be my guy that's going to have to go out there and take on a safety or take on a corner or take on an extra linebacker that we cannot pick up? Because I think that, you know, I've been going through some of these games, and I always go back to the Atlanta game. The first sack that was given up was because they had a five-man front, and then you had a corner come down off the side, and Sproles didn't go to block him.
Well, were you charting these plays?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
So yeah. How long would you feel confident, let's say your old left tackle, Trey Thomas, in Miles Sanders? Like, how long do you think it is a fair curve for him to adjust to the NFL level of picking up blitzes?
It's just, you're going to have to see it in practice. You're going to see it in practice. You're going to see it in the preseason games as well. It's not a certain amount of time that you give him. It's just, you're going to have to see how he responds to the different looks. How does he handle when Kelsey makes his points, and then you can see how he reacts from there? Because when you go back and you look at that Sproles sack, I mean, you know, Kelsey made his call. It was a five-man front. It was something that everybody, any running back that's been in the game for however many years you've been playing, should have known. All right, it's a five-down front. Our five are going to take their five. Who's going to take the extra person? Well, I'm the one that doesn't have one of those five. It's going to be the running back. So
surprising, yeah. Sproles, being the veteran he is.
Yeah, he missed the block.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that is disappointing.
I'm just saying, but you know, but that's where. But I think that's going to be a big factor when you come into this, because you know that everybody's going to look at this team and say, all right, you know what, this is an extremely talented squad. What can we do? Just mano a mano, you're not going to be able to stack up to them. So what are you going to do? You're going to blitz. You're going to do whatever you can to try to throw them off their rhythm. So I think that the backfield is going to have to be on point. You really are going to have to be on point.
I just feel like with this team, it's funny. I know we've talked about the comparison of 04 for Bob, talking about how this is the most exciting you could be going in an Eagles season since then. Well, it's like, I feel like this team is built so well right now. I just feel like they are going to be a juggernaut of a team, but there's still a lot of curiosity.
Uh-huh.
Because we don't know how the running back situation is. I just know that running back core is going to be successful. Like, I don't have a lot of evidence to support it, other than I think they have very talented players there, and I think Jordan Howard has been a talented player in the league, as we pointed out before. I think they have a good offensive line. I think Carson Wentz can be an MVP. Like, every time I'm thinking about how good this team can be, I'm like, all right, pump the brakes. Don't be a homer. And then I'm like, no, they could be. They have the potential to be that good.
Yeah.
Defensively, offensively, wide receivers, I think they're set pretty well there. We'll get into that maybe tomorrow. But running back-wise, I'm just wondering who's going to be the guy to stand out from the rest of the bunch. Even in a running back by committee type offense, I want to know who's going to be the guy to really be the standout star of the running back core. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Now, we're doing something a little bit different today because you guys did this on Friday. And you guys are brilliant human beings. As per usual, we do our Twitch on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We do our Twitch post-show showcast where you can watch Farzetta and Trey with Bob and Jamie and Samantha on Twitch. Simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for the post-show showcast. This is my first time now with our producer, Sean, in studio, setting up the camera itself. And you guys did this on Friday.
Yeah.
We got Twitch going.
Yeah.
When did it start?
Right around the same time right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like coming back from break?
Yeah, when we came back from the 9:40 break.
All right, so
right on into it.
If you're on twitch.tv, you follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our now in-show showcast.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can watch us there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So go and check us out for our final segment, including our final tally on our Twitter poll. We'll tell you some great stuff coming up with FanFest. We'll tell you all that and more, and also maybe an early nomination for Tool of the Week. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, we're about to have a realization on the program here, but first, I have to welcome in our audience that are watching right now on Twitch. Welcome in on twitch.tv, everybody. This is now in here. Sean has helped us. Well, Trey, it was your idea to help us save some time. And right now, we have on the television on NBC Sports Philly, Michael Franco. And they don't show it!
Well, you kind of caught it there at the end, but not really good.
All right, I'll show you. I would say at the break, but that was our last break, unfortunately. Yeah. If you take my word for
it,
Bob.
Not important. They
threw dirt in his face.
They threw dirt in his face.
Yeah.
It's
what the hell,
cool.
Man?
I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Weird move, bro.
It's a little weird, to say the least. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Looking for windows? Search windownation.com and take advantage of their 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This morning we asked per Sixers insider Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons has made, quote, big improvements on his game. So we asked the Twitter people, how confident are you that Ben Simmons will have a mid-range game next season? We have just under 2,000 votes today. 63% say not confident.
Nah, well, it did drop ever since we posted it, which was nice that people started to get more confidence. Maybe it was the more we played Tobias Harris, Sixers insider, Tobias Harris, that they started to feel a little bit more confident in Ben Simmons coming back next year, being comfortable with that mid-range game. Maybe that's what it was.
I guess.
9 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Now, I told people I'd tell you about FanFest.
Uh-huh.
Gave away even more tickets today there, Trey. FanFest is going to be an incredible time, as per usual, exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Saturday, August 24th at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are free, but you have to have a ticket to get in. And how about this? Some new things added here. Sixers are going to be part of the show here. Sixers are bringing a half court to play on. So you can actually play on the half court there. That'll be awesome there.
Yeah,
at Xfinity Live. The Dunk Squad is coming out, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Sixers dancers are showing up. Sixers Drum Squad will be there, as well as Sixers Liberty Bell. How about that? Is that not
awesome.
Exciting?
Yeah.
See all those guys in action here. FanFest partners also include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risque, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. FanFest also want to thank our exclusive automotive provider,
Turnersville Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram online at turnersvillejeep.com, as well as DHY Motorsports. Make summer fun or run away, runner. Shop DHY.com, the area leader for everything power sports. But back to our Twitter poll.
Yes.
We're also, did we up your, because Trey's at 10. We can't get any more confident than 10, perfection, 100% confident that Ben Simmons is going to come back, as Tobias Harris has said, with those big improvements to his game. Bob, when you say big improvements, what do you think Tobias Harris is talking about?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's the improvement is his willingness to take it, to even take it. Like, that has to be the first step. He's willing to take the shot. He's willing to take open shots. He's willing to look for open shots, jump shots. And then the second part of it is how well he does shooting it. I mean, the biggest obstacle right now for Ben Simmons isn't making them. It's just shooting them, because he is reluctant to do so. He's the only point guard in NBA history that I know of that took a handful of jump shots in a season.
What was the, you know, the number was insane. It was like five attempts, or whatever it was, from 5 feet away.
Yeah. It was. I read something this week. I think 80% of his shots. What was it? 80% of his shots were 9 feet and in, I believe.
Okay, yeah, that was the number.
Something like that. Yeah.
You had referenced that before. That's ungodly.
Yeah. So my confidence, the way you stated it, is he going to be comfortable coming back and shooting a mid-range jumper? I don't have that much confidence that he is right now.
All right, Jamie,
I think his game's going to change a little bit mid-range, but I don't think he's going to shoot a mid-range jump shot.
And Jamie, you still at 4.5? Have you been swayed to 5 yet?
I'm up. I'll settle at 5.
You're at 50-50.
Yeah.
You think it's a 50-50 now?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, we got what, like two and a half months before we see them really play? We'll see if we can get you up to like 7.
Ooh.
By then.
Wild.
It's good to have goals.
Get excited.
It's good to have goals. Let's get our takeaways of the day in here. Let's start it off with Sam Wilson. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is the people that are actually going to show up to Area 51, you're nuts.
Graf does point out, our friend Graf points out, who was in the Air Force.
Yeah,
right? I believe he was in the Air Force. He said basically that's an Air Force like test ground.
Yeah.
Right? Test facility. So like they won't shoot. They'll drop bombs.
Oh my
God.
So
that could be a problem.
That's the thing, though. Like, there's obviously something in there that they don't want people to know. So they're not going to just willingly be like, yeah, come on. Like,
or they don't want people to have bombs dropped on them.
Yeah, but I feel like they would do that letting somebody know.
I guess we'll call that a fan theory. I'll call that a fan theory. Jamie Lynch, take away the day.
I'm sure as hell not charging Area 51, but if I was going to, I'd sure as hell like Trey Thomas in front of me blocking.
I thought you were going to say you were going to take Andrew Knapp with you.
Or him too.
I thought it was okay.
Maybe he's an alien.
Get on some peyote.
Bob Cooney, take away the day.
My takeaway of the day is that Eleanor Farzetta is a genius.
She is a genius.
A genius. One look at tight pants, and she said he has a tight head.
Moms know best.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, she does. She does.
Uh-huh.
Trey Thomas, take away the day.
In honor of Gabe Kapler, the difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limits. Albert Einstein.
Everything we do matters.
My takeaway of the day is not funny. It's not to poke fun at anything. It's a serious statement that right now you're four-hole hitter.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
What the hell? You're a four-hole hitter. Your cleanup hitter, Rhys Hoskins, is ranked 91st in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. Minimum 75 at-bats. He has the 10th most at-bats with runners in scoring position, and he's ranked 91st. His .256 batting average.
Gave us a very valiant effort.
90 players better than him with runners.
We love it. We love it. I think it's incredible.
That's no bueno. But keep telling me about Andrew Knapp.
One of my fives.
Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Rhys Hoskins' chin.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.